You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
We have been in a series called Night and Day. It talks about being transferred from the dominion and of darkness into the kingdom of his light, and that's what we're continuing. The first week we talked about how light, there is actually light in your darkness. God has been in the business of speaking light into darkness from the very beginning. And then we talked about how Jesus breaks the power of darkness, and now we know that we're called to live in the light, to be literally the light. So Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 8. And it just says this. For at one time you were darkness. That's a pretty strong statement right there. It wasn't you are in darkness. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of what? So what's the big idea here? It's not hard to find. Jesus doesn't just bring us into the light. He calls us to live in the light, to actually literally be the light. He says, you are the light of the world. And so it's time to be light. So what are we asking? We're saying invite people or do, look, be the light in your neighborhood. Be the light in your workplace. Be the light in Walmart. I know I get convicted every time I say that because, you know, if I ever do go to Walmart, which is pretty rare, but when I do, I'm on a mission, and it's usually not cognitively including being the light. I just want to get in, get out, like bypass the line, all that. We have the secrets of navigating Walmart, but we're not going to talk about that today. So, I love lighthouses. One of my first memories here of like just going through New England, we moved here when I was 4, and we fell in love with Maine. So we would drive up to Maine. We'd go to Perkins Cove, which is just past Ogunquit. We'd walk the marginal way, and then we would drive to Nubble Light, which is a lighthouse. And, you know, it's a cool lighthouse. I mean, I don't know if it's really, I mean, I'm sure it's functional, but I mean, I don't know if ships really use that kind of stuff anymore, at least up in that particular area. But it's a pretty rocky area. If it, you know, people that come here, like they'll visit us and we'll bring them up to Maine. Like they're blown away by Maine because it's so unique. There's just a unique quality. There's a unique vibe to that area. And it's a very rocky coast. And so when there's a rocky coast, we typically put lighthouses on the rocky coast. And so why is that? Because there was a time in a day where we didn't have modern navigational systems and we relied on light. We relied on the stars. We relied on lighthouses as we were coming in toward land. And so ships depended on those lights to survive. And sometimes storms would roll in, visibility would drop. I can imagine that'd be a little scary. I've never really sailed. You know, I've been on a lot of planes, but not a lot of boats, a few. And so when that would happen, you know, you could very easily crash into the rocks. As a matter of fact, there's shipwrecks all over the place, you know, along the coast, especially rocky areas from, you know, hundreds of years ago because they couldn't see, you know, or they didn't know the landscape, or maybe there wasn't a lighthouse. But when there is a lighthouse and the sailors would see the lighthouse beam cutting through the darkness, they knew where safety was. The lighthouse does not remove the storm. It does not remove the fog. It doesn't remove the constraints of the conditions, but it gives direction in the midst of it. Sometimes we think Jesus is going to come in and just make our life rosy. He never says that. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. Like, expect things to be difficult at times. Doesn't have to be all the time, but here's what I would say. I expect the goodness of God, but I'm not surprised by the difficulty of life. Does that make sense? So the light showed them where life was, even if it didn't remove the storm. And so here's the powerful part. The lighthouse was never meant to stay hidden. It's not the point. Its entire purpose was to shine outward. And that's exactly how the light of Christ works, in you. Jesus does not just rescue us from darkness, he transforms us into people who carry his light. And so this verse in Ephesians, it tells us something incredible. We were once conditionally darkness. When you say yes to Jesus, you surrender to Jesus, you are now the light of the world. It's a whole identity shift. It's a whole function shift in light. And yes, there are lights and counterfeit lights and all this kind of stuff, but I'm talking about a light that endures forever. So it doesn't say you were in darkness, it says you were. Now something has changed. Your identity has changed. Your life has changed. Your purpose has changed. So let's talk about a few points about how light interacts with you and also through you. Number one, light changes your identity. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Turn, swipe. I hear a few pages. I see a lot of phones. And 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6 says this. For God, who said, let light shine out of the darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Let me read that again. For God, who said, let light shine out of the darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So what does this mean? Before Christ, darkness shaped our identity. Circumstances, trauma, difficulty, history, sometimes bloodlines. Sin defined us, shame labeled us, fear controlled us. But when Jesus enters a life, something supernatural happens. And I don't know, I feel like we've got to recapture the awe and wonder of that process of salvation. Because when we recapture that, it makes us hungry to reach out to the people who are in our lives to see that they are transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his light. It's supernatural. What happens? God shines light into the human heart, into our spirit. He awakens the deadness within us and brings it to life. The same God who said, let there be light. And let me be clear, when we read that in the book of Genesis, there is no let there. This is not a permissive statement. In the Hebrew, literally God just said, be light. Sometimes the way that we translate things, it brings a timidity in the way that we pray. It brings us a timidity in the way that we approach the throne. Like even the Lord's Prayer, you know, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Then we get all religious-y and we're like, let your kingdom come. Let maybe your will be done. Just let it, please God, happen. Jesus did not say that. What did he say? Kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He wasn't asking a question. He wasn't hoping something that was gonna happen. It wasn't like buying a lottery ticket and saying, oh God, I hope your kingdom comes today. He was making a command as a son of God, as a representative of the Father, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And he said, kingdom come, will be done on earth, right here, right now, as it always should have been from the beginning. And so even at the beginning, he's mirroring what they said in the darkness. He just said, be light. There was no like, let there be, just be light. And so the same God who said, be light in darkness, now speaks light into our souls. And so you're no longer defined by your worst mistake or even your best one, your past failures, the labels people placed on you. How many of you ever had like something you did in your past and it like sneaks up in your heart and your memory? That happens to me. I'll be honest. Well, I'm usually honest, but sometimes like something I did like 20 years ago, it pops in my mind and I have a visceral physical reaction. I'm like, oh, I can't believe I did that. I mean, I did some embarrassing things in my younger days, you know, and every once in a while, a memory creeps back. I'm just like, oh, you know, and I won't say anything, but, you know, unfortunately, I don't get caught. But, you know, sometimes I'm afraid, like, I'll get caught. Like, Riley would be like, what are you doing? I'm twitching like, I'm just remembering something I did at 20. Don't do the same thing, son. But I'm not defined by that. Sometimes the memory creeps in, but my history has no power over me unless I yield authority to it. You've been given a new identity. I have a new identity. So I don't really have to twitch anymore, but sometimes I do. I'm not going to tell you what I twitch over either. Darkness says, this is who you are. That's what happens. Sometimes, you know, the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. That's what he does. And so he whispers things in your ear, but he doesn't always lie. Sometimes he tells you things that are true. He knows what happened last night. He knows what happened last week. He knows how I behaved in my car. And Debbie said, Mr. Guidry. Yeah, you like that one, yeah. True story, it happens every week. That's why I prefer to drive alone. There's no accountability then. Right, did you catch that? Come on, somebody say amen. Yeah, God's always with me, I know. But darkness will come and say, this is who you are. Sometimes he'll do it through people. Hey, you might think you are this today, but remember, I remember you when. You know, I got into ministry, there were people that have come out from my past. There was one particular guy who was attending here at the time, and he would say that almost all the time. We'd do like a meeting, you know, and he'd come up to me and he'd be like, you know, just you know, I know who you are. I remember you when. And finally, I was just like, that dude is dead. Like, I don't know who you think that you know, but if you think that I'm the same dude now as I was 20, 25 years ago, like, that guy is dead and gone. I'm a new creation. That's the whole process of our ranked values in the back wall. Excellence means that you will excel, meaning that you will not be the same person next year as you are now. If you are, you are not excelling. And if you're not excelling and you're stuck, we have pathways to get you unstuck. Congratulations, step one is showing up here today. So darkness says this is who you are, but the gospel says that's who you were. You are no longer that. Now you are light in the Lord. Here's a big kingdom key here, guys. Stop rehearsing the identity darkness gave you and start living from the identity Christ has given you. Man, we rehearse darkness so much. We rehearse our faults and our flaws and our history and our mistakes. Just like I do, like when I twitch and I'm like, oh, I can't believe I did that in 1993. As if I just did it now. Those things come alive. Don't rehearse that thing. You take captive every thought and you make it obedient to the voice of Christ, the word of God, and watch how your mind begins to change. You begin to tear down those systems of logic that are in your mind that we all have that are built upon lies that we believe to be true. The enemy says, I'll remind you of your darkness. And Jesus comes and says, no, here's the scepter of justice. You've been justified by faith. You're righteous by the blood. The case is closed. It never even opened. You are free by the blood of the Lamb. That's what we're here to do. But identity alone isn't the goal. It's a foundation. Because light isn't just something we receive. It's something that we walk in. It's something that we actually release. And sometimes you release it without even knowing. I find that to be true in my life. But that leads us to number two. Number two, walking in the light requires daily surrender. Flip over to 1 John, if you're fast. 1 John 1, I'm gonna read verses 5-7. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version today. It says this, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you." That's real important. We've heard the message from him, but then we go and we proclaim it. When's the last time you have proclaimed the message of Jesus to someone around you? So again, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. What does this mean? Walking in the light is not a one-time moment. It's a daily decision. You know, some might connect this to where Jesus said, you got to take up your cross daily. Well, that doesn't sound like a very fun thing to do. But when you do that and you live a life that is surrendered to him, light is released from your life. It's a daily decision. So the verse that we just read says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. It's not just you and Jesus. I hear that almost, or read it on social media almost every week. People are like, oh, just me and Jesus. It's never been just you and Jesus. Oh, I don't need to go to church. I am the church. No, you're not. Collectively, we are the church. There is something sacred about gathering. There's something sacred about these focused times of worship. And it is all over Scripture. God never said, just go off and do your own thing. This is a Western, American, individualistic idea. But the whole purpose of the gospel, the whole purpose of God creating humanity was for connection, to create a family, to create a body, to create an army of believers that would release light into the darkness when darkness tried to overcome the earth. There is a collective nature of who we are as the body of Christ. You know, there's a verse that says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But the real concept that we see out of Scripture, the totality of Scripture, is that collectively we are now the Ark of the New Covenant. In the Old Testament, there was a physical ark that not only represented the presence of God, but his glory literally came upon it. And, you know, inside was the Ten Commandments, outside was the book of the law. And you know, there was an instance even where someone touched the ark without authorization and they just dropped dead in the moment. That's not gonna happen to me. Like, if you come up and touch me, you're not gonna die. But collectively, we carry the essence of the presence, the fullness of God, the fullness of Jesus is literally dwelling in the church collectively. And so when you separate yourself from that, you are stunted and you will become nearsighted and blind, forgetting the salvation that has come upon you, according to Peter's letter. And so this is a daily decision that we live. And this idea of having fellowship with one another. We were in the ministry team meeting yesterday, and I had just read some verses out of Acts, and I was just thinking, you know, that wasn't really the point of the verse, but in a couple locations in that chapter, I think it was chapter 15, it says, you know, and it seemed good to us. And then later on it said, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us, that there is a discernment of the voice of the Lord. There is a discernment of direction that happens in community. It's not all on me. It's not all on Natalie. It's not all on David. It's on the we. There's the individual relationship with God, and then there's the corporate relationship with God. And this is a force to be reckoned with on earth. When the church stands united, even in a small sense, I'm telling you, she becomes unstoppable. She releases light everywhere that she goes. And now we begin to see the first kind of foretaste of the move of God that we might just call revival. So we walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another. That means even the weird people in the room. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. That means that that's not everybody that you like. It's not a social club where everybody's got their lives all together. That means there's gonna be some iron that sharpens iron. There's gonna be every joint that supplies. It's going to test you in the word. And out of the book of Romans, it says, you know what? Bear with those of lesser faith, if they actually are of lesser faith. We might just think that they're of lesser faith because we think we are the supreme source of all biblical wisdom and knowledge. But even if you feel that way, then just bear with those that you don't feel like have arrived yet. Does that make sense? Good. So walking in the light means living transparently before God and before each other. Sometimes that's harder, and I get it. And sometimes we want to confess our sins, one another, our faults and our flaws. And you know, we know Christians are sort of addicted to giving counsel. You know, we go and ask for prayer and then someone gives us advice. And I'm like, just pray for me, please. I don't need to take that herb or that, you know, that pill for this ache, you know, or the ointment, like just pray. You know, we love to give advice. But there's this idea of living transparently without fear, living from the place of Romans 8:1 that says there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So let's not speak out of turn, and let's not speak a word that Jesus isn't speaking. Let's love one another. But what is transparency? It's not perfection. Ain't no perfect people in this place. But transparency is openness about imperfections. And so we, you know, often pray before communion, Holy Spirit, search us and know us. It's being transparent before God. Find those hidden spaces in me. Find those places that inhibit the free flow of your glory and your grace. That's what happens when we attach ourselves to sin or things that separate us, things that turn our face from his face. And now there's like a blockage within us that is inhibiting the free flow of his glory, of his grace. There's almost like a veil that comes over that to cover the light that we are actually called to release. But when we live transparently before God and before each other, that thing gets exposed, and now you're shining brighter than you've ever shone before. Let God search your heart. Let truth guide your decisions. Let his word become a lamp for your path. Psalm 119:105, it says that. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. But here's the thing. 119:105. Many people want the benefits of light without the discipline of walking in it. Light requires alignment. Alignment with truth, alignment with God's word, alignment with Holy Spirit, and I would say alignment with each other. Alignment with authority. That's why, for me, alignment is important. I'm aligned with a guy who's mentored me for years. I don't agree with everything that goes on or everything that he does, but I honor because I know that it's to my benefit that I honor. The hardest thing to do is to honor that which you become familiar with. You become familiar with me, man, it gets hard to honor because I'm kind of weird. I do weird things in my house. Like I know Lisa used to tell stories to the kids like every week about all the weird things I used to do, some of which I still do, but I will not admit those. Because I'm not gonna be that transparent. Not a sin issue, it's just a weird issue. But walking in the light means choosing truth even when darkness feels easier. So what's the kingdom key? Light grows stronger in your life when you consistently align your daily choices with God's truth. Light's a gift, but it's also a discipline. To stay in the space where it shines. But there's something even bigger happening here. Because when God fills your life with light, he intends for that light to shine. Which brings us to number three. Light is meant to be seen. Flip back over to Matthew chapter 5. Many of you are familiar with this verse. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to do verses 14 through 16. And it says this, right now, here in this room, as if Jesus just spoke it for the first time, he says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You know, we're doing a couple of post-service meetings next week. This is one way that we can let our light shine, by how we care for one another. We have outreach teams. It's a way that we can let our light shine by doing what? Good works. Good works don't get you there, but it's the fruit of being in the light. If you gotta wonder, am I in the light? Well, there's some easily detectable things. I mean, you know, Paul teaches the church of Galatia about the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the first foretaste is love, joy, and peace. It's hard to be kind. It's hard to be patient or long-suffering if you have not had an encounter with his love, joy, and peace. But preceding that, he talks about the deeds of the flesh, one of which is fits of rage, which I always ask myself when I'm driving in my car. Even if I hold my tongue, what is the condition of my heart? I want to rage. But I have one, someone sitting to my right saying, Mr. Guidry. That's why God said it's not good for man to be alone, left to his own devices, driving in a car in rush hour traffic on his 1.4 mile commute home. Some of you, I know you have like hour long commutes. You always look at me like, it's all relative. It's my trial. I shall overcome. I'm never talking about my driving habits again. I just can't trust my heart with you people. I'm kidding. Okay. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. That's crazy talk. You are actually the light of the world. It's not just for pastors or missionaries that we might bring or spiritual professionals or vocational ministries. This mantle, this call, whatever spiritual term we want to give it to you. You are the light. I'm the light of the world. It's pretty crazy, man. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Light was never meant to be concealed. Are you a concealer or are you a revealer of the light that is within you? Like, and I know why we conceal the light sometimes, because we do know ourselves and we do know our lack and we do know how we've fallen short. We do know the mistakes that we've made. We do, and sometimes we don't feel worthy. Like, oh man, I know my heart. I know what I did last week or last night, it doesn't matter. His mercies are new every morning. His grace is sufficient for you. His love endures forever. And so sometimes that's the beauty of the light, that the light will still shine out of flawed and broken vessels. You might be an old, cracked up lighthouse. You're still a lighthouse. And he wants to patch you up and let your light shine today. Think about the people around you right now. I mean, in life. I mean, not around you in the room. But yeah, in the room too. Some of them need your light. Your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends, your family members. I got to the place when I was still working in business that, you know, I would look for the hardest, like, looking people in the place, and like I would just want to go love on them. I just go talk to them. I just wanted them to see a smile and light in my eye. I didn't like always just bring a Bible and just start thumping, although I was known as the Jesus freak, and that's okay. But I'm telling you, the hardest looking people in your life are the ones, man, under redemption, they become radical. They become fire. Everything that was closed up and locked within them, when that gets unlocked, they become an unstoppable force for the kingdom of God. Find those people in your life. They're still walking in darkness. They're searching for hope. Some of them are silently struggling. You wonder why their face looks hard. You wonder why they seem so rigid. You don't even know their history. You don't even know what they've endured. They're struggling internally. And God has placed you in their life for a reason. For such a time as this, the light in you is the key to unlock the life of another. It's your kindness, your faith, even your testimony, your invitation. All of it becomes light, pointing people to Jesus. So what's the kingdom key here? Your life may be the first glimpse of Jesus that someone ever sees. And this is where the message becomes urgent. Because the light you carry isn't just for you. It's meant to guide others home. You are the lighthouse on a rocky cliff. It's time to let your light shine. And that brings us to number four. Your light leads others out of darkness. John 8:12, I'll just read it. It says this. You can write it down. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world, but whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus said, whoever follows him will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It doesn't mean that you won't walk through difficulty. It doesn't mean that you won't at times maybe even walk through the valley of the shadow of death, like out of Psalm 23. But what it does mean is you do not have to fear that, because God is with you. It doesn't say camp out. We don't live in a dark place, but we may be called to step into a dark place to shine light where light has never been shown before. Think about that. You carry the light of life. There are people in your world right now who feel lost. Every one of us. People in our lives that are lost. That, you know, Kelly Koski is our missionary, one of our missionaries in South Africa, and he goes out and he still does outreaches. He's like just about 70, if he's not 70 already. Goes way out into the bush. He goes into villages where they've never had the opportunity to say no to the gospel. Why? Because he says, so often when I fall asleep, I have dreams of people that are dying to a Christless eternity, and it drives me to go. The dude just can't stop loving on people and shining the light. And your invitation could be the moment that people around you see the light. Now, next week is Palm Sunday, then it's Good Friday, then it's Easter. People are already conditioned. You know, maybe. But I'm telling you, when people walk in the doors, we're gonna show them the real thing. We really believe this stuff. I'm not here for ordinary Sunday morning gatherings. I'm not here for some kind of social club. You guys know I'm not even a morning person. But I'm here because there is something greater than my need for slumber. It's the light of Jesus that came to me and now that shines through me. And it's the same thing for you. You don't carry a different light. You don't carry a different Holy Spirit. It's not a different measure. Collectively, the fullness of Jesus is dwelling and swirling and churning and exploding in our lives. This is what we do. It's the greatest story ever told, and we carry it. Are you a concealer or are you a revealer? When was the last time you ever told his story and his story in your life? When was the last time you ever told your story? There's someone in your life right now, I guarantee it 100%, everyone in this room, there is someone in your life that needs to hear your story. And this is not age restricted, from the youngest to the oldest. I used to preach out the front window of my house at 6 a.m., I had a little toy firefighter megaphone. And back then all we had was King James. So I'd preach King James scriptures until one day my neighbor called my mom. My mom said, maybe that's not the right time or venue to preach. And it was about 6 a.m. Yeah, that was back when I was like 4 or 5. I was a morning person back then. Yeah, no, those days are over. I can still get up at that time, but it's not my preferred mode of operation. God is no respecter of persons. And he's given gifts to each one of you. Before you were even in the womb, he knew you. He formed you. And I know that some of you have gone through some horrific circumstances in your life and in your upbringing. But God is a God who will transform those things. God is a God who will erase the influence and the authority of those things in your history that try to exert their power on your life in the now. Jesus, he cuts those things off of you. He breaks those chains. And all you got to do when you say yes to him and you surrender is you got to step out. And it's not just a one-time deal. Each day we make the choice to step out of the chains that constrain us, that constrain the light, that constrain us from releasing our story to people around us. There is a stepping out daily. That's what it means to carry your cross each day, to take up your cross, because when Jesus carried the cross, he didn't just stay stationary. He stood and he carried and he walked and he strode toward his purpose, which was to give his life so that we could have life abundantly. Sometimes we go through seasons of freedom, but then we step back into the things that constrained us in a previous season. I'm here to tell you right now that those chains are still broken, and all you got to do is step out. Sometimes we return to our depression. We return to anxiety. We return to those things that try to afflict us. I'm here to tell you that those chains are broken. It is time to step out. It's the greatest story ever told. And that's that last kingdom key. Light grows brighter when it is shared. When you share your story, it's like the winds of heaven blow on that flame. It might only feel like a spark in you, but you want to get unstuck. You want this little spark that you can barely even detect to grow into an inferno. Start sharing your story. It will automatically begin to shift your belief system about yourself and about him, because you will begin to see the fruit of the power of the gospel flowing even through your life. It's like those, I don't even know what they call those things, like a bellows or something. We had one when I was a kid. We had a fireplace, and I used to love going up to the fire and just blowing air on the fire and just watching it grow, watching it grow. Sometimes it would be almost dead. You just find the one ember, put a little bit of fuel on it, which is your testimony, and then the winds of heaven begin to blow on that thing. And that moment where you felt so dim, you felt stuck, you thought you'd never burn for him again, all of a sudden there's this inferno of love and passion and fire and power and anointing that comes upon your life because you decided just to do the one thing. And then heaven said, I'm going to come into agreement with the story that you just told, and the winds of heaven are going to blow, and that spark is going to turn into a flame in that space where you were stuck. You are no longer in that place again, because he said, now I transform you from one level of glory to another level of glory. Light grows brighter when it's shared. That brings us back to that lighthouse. The power of a lighthouse is that the light wasn't built for itself. I don't know, sometimes I feel like the way messages come out, at least in America, that we so individualized faith that we just think that everything that the gospel does, it just does for me. No, it does through you. The gospel will never not require sacrifice, and it will never not require surrender. But it's in that sacrifice and that surrender that something new comes forth. So the lighthouse wasn't built for itself. It existed for ships that were lost in the storm. Culturally, we've been living in a storm for a long time. You know, some sailors didn't even realize they were heading toward danger, but the moment they saw the light, everything changed. Today, some people in this room, you guys feel like you're still out in the storm. Maybe you had a season where you were free. You had a, you know, we all have these ups and downs, but we've returned and retreated into the cloud that afflicted us in our history. Some of you are searching, but some of you stopped searching. You're tired, you're drifting, but I'm here to say that Jesus is still the light of the world, and he's the light of yours. And he's calling you home right here, right now. Within the sound of my voice, whether online or in this room, I do believe that some of you need to step into the light for the very first time. can almost feel your heart beating within your chest as the Spirit is giving you this invitation. Come, come into the light. When you've been stuck inside yourself for so long, it feels a little scary to step out, step into the light. But it will set you free. A lot of us in this room, we've been saved. You know, we've been doing the church thing for a long time, but you've drifted back toward darkness. It's like that song, "Hello, Darkness, My Old Friend." That ain't your friend. It's a lie. And you, over time, lost your courage, your resolve to be light. So easy to become what Hebrews 10:39 warns us against. The people that actually shrink back from the light, that shrink back from truth, shrink back from transparency, shrink back from our role as lighthouses. To the people that Jesus came and died to save. Because the enemy whispers and reminds us of who we were, but tries to convince you that that's who you are today. Hey, is that who you are? It's not. Hebrews 10:39 says that we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. We're a people of faith that preserve their souls. So today's a day of surrender for all of us. All of us. It is time to break out of this sort of Western religious mindset and to reprioritize Jesus in our lives. Return to Him and be His lighthouse that shines in the darkness. And there's no shame here. There's only grace. When you step into the light, everything begins to change.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.